Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about in the middle of the week, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it's great to be with you today.
It's great to be here. It's great to have our podcast family with us, and that family is growing and growing, and we like that.
It is. That's encouraging. So last Sunday morning, you spoke on seeing church as God sees the church. Our whole theme for the year is Now I See, exercising 2020 vision, growing to see the world, see life, see our potential as human beings, but also our calling, our responsibilities as our Creator has them or would have us to see. The church obviously is an enormously important topic. It belongs to God. You spent a little bit of time talking about how the church is compared to the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. What do people here in the middle of the week need to realize about seeing the church as God sees the church?
Well, one of the first things we want to understand and appreciate is oftentimes I make the assumption the way I see things is the way God sees things. And so in our culture today, sometimes the church doesn't seem to be that important. And sometimes people just don't see the need of worshiping with other people. And so when we open the scriptures and we view as the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles what God viewed the church to be, we see that it is very, very important to the Lord. The church, of course, not a building, not a structure, but people, saved people. And that's how the book of Acts begins, and that's how it illustrates for us with the definition of what the church is. But from that, when we look at the concepts of the church being a body, that reflects function and the idea that our bodies are made to do things. And we're made to move, we're made to pick up things, and we, being the body of Jesus today, are made to function. When we talk about the church being the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ, we could say, that reflects upon the relationship, the idea of honor, the idea of cherishing one another as God wants us to do these things. And when we think about this concept of the church, it brings to us this idea of an image, that we are the image of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And people will make judgments based upon this image that they see. So when people see us, like today, going off to work or going off to school, the way we act, our attitudes, the words we choose, our body language, all those kind of roll in together, and they're going to make a judgment. This is a Christian, they say. And they're going to make a judgment about my faith. From that, they're going to make a judgment about my church. That's the kind of church you go to. That's what your church is made up of. And then it trickles down to they're going to make a judgment about God. These are people who supposedly follow God. And if this is how they act, they're going to make a decision about God.
It's powerful to use that word we, as you have several times in the last couple of minutes. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about it, and we're not talking about them. We're talking about we, us. We are projecting an image of Jesus into the world. We are building a reputation. We're reflecting on how people think of Jesus, his people, and ultimately our Father in heaven. One of the passages that you used last Sunday morning was from the letter of Paul to Titus. And we'll be in Titus chapter 2 in just a moment, but it stood out to me where Titus is as he receives this letter from the Apostle Paul. He's been left on the island of Crete. And Titus chapter 1 tells us people on the island of Crete had a reputation, right? That just like we all have reputations. Titus 1:10, Paul describes people who lived on the island of Crete as insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. In fact, he says a few verses down, one of their own poets had described Cretans as always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That gives you the idea. Not every single human being on that island could be described in those ways, but there was a reputation there. There was a projection coming from that island out into the world. There were also disciples of Jesus, and those Christians were to be better. Not because they were inherently better people, certainly not because of the color of their skin or where they were born or the language that they naturally grew up speaking, but they were to be better because they were following a better model.
What was happening, what was taking place was, instead of being like the culture around them, they were changed from the inside out. Because of Jesus Christ, their character had changed. And that would make the choices different. And so when we see ourselves different, when we put Jesus in our lives, we become saved people, it makes a radical difference in our lives. And so I think that's a concept of having that image of Jesus. The Lord would say in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to be the salt of the earth, we are to be the light of the world. Let your light shine is something that Jesus said. And so again, that's the idea that we're going to be noticed. We're going to be a little bit different. And the reason is because we're walking a different direction. We're listening to someone else. We're not taking our call from the world. We're not letting the world define the words for us. We're not letting the world decide what's right and wrong. We're letting the God of heaven do that for us.
It starts on the inside. It works its way out. And you read Titus 2, and it comes through pretty loud and clear. Paul wants Titus to be unashamed of that, and he is depending upon Titus to teach Christians on that darkened island that they shouldn't be ashamed. In Titus 2 and verse 7, he says, show yourself. There it is. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be ashamed to be distinctive. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Titus, in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, sound speech. Those were the very opposite sorts of things that people on the island of Crete were known to be. But also, you keep reading Titus 2, it's not just for this evangelist named Titus. Titus was to tell people about the grace of God that had appeared that would begin to change people from the inside. And it would begin coming out in the way people conducted themselves. Titus 2:14 says, God's people belong to him. We are his possession, and we are to be zealous for good works. We've talked recently on Fridays about the temperature gauge of our hearts. There's the zeal. We've got the appropriate excitement and fervor for our relationship with God. And it's coming out in what we've described as the speedometer, right? It's a way of life. These people were being changed from the inside. It was showing on the outside, and a certain image of Jesus was beginning to appear on this pagan island.
A couple of verses before that, as he talks about that grace that brought salvation, he would say in verse 12 that that grace instructs us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So there was an internal anticipation. There was something within them that they were looking forward to that the rest of the people wouldn't. There was an internal change with them. They were no longer going to live ungodly and worldly, but they're going to live sensibly, righteously, godly. These are internal choices that is going to be reflected by their behavior. And so this image, we are the body of Jesus. We are the body. We are the bride of Christ. Powerful words describe how important the church is to God.
This idea of integrity, not only having that faithful relationship with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom and our head, but also into the world, That's a reputation we have to take seriously. Titus 2, verse 8, he concludes those instructions to Titus, the individual evangelist, by saying, you live this way so that no one, no opponent will have anything evil to say about us. That speaks to the importance of this reputation, and that's something for all of us to think about here in the middle of the week. On Sunday, we really focused on our relationship with God, our faithfulness to Jesus. That hopefully carries us through the week, but as we walk this walk, as we talk the talk, as we function in school or go to work, there are people who are watching. And if we're hypocritical, if we say one thing but live a completely different way, if we say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a part of this particular church, but we live just like the rest of the world, people who are looking for an excuse not to believe in God very well may find it in us.
And what that tells us that our faith is not lived just within a church building. We must be consistent. I must be the same at home as I am Sunday morning in worship. I must be the same at work. And when folks say it's a dog-eat-dog world, everyone has to cheat to climb the ladder, that's not true of the child of God. He's going to make different choices in his life. When people say, well, you got to cheat in school to get ahead, that's not true for the child of God because he's making different choices in his life. We must be the same believer in Jesus, walking with Jesus, everywhere we go. We never turn that off, whether we're on vacation, whether we're at home, whether we're in the church building. Our honesty, our integrity, our character are the image that people are going to notice.
Roger, the other passage that you used on Sunday morning closely tied to this idea of being a model, projecting an image of Jesus into the world, was from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus pictures that day when he comes in his glory, all the angels are with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered everyone. And he says that people are going to be separated one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And it's fascinating to listen as he looks at those described as the sheep. And he says in Matthew 25:35, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And there are going to be righteous people who answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. What a powerful, powerful communication for disciples of all ages that when we serve, we are serving Christ himself. We are members of his body. We are members of his bride. When we actually walk with zeal for good works, not only are our fellow image bearers being impacted, but Jesus himself sees, knows, he himself is served.
What's neat about that passage is the disciples respond, when did we see you? If everyone knew it was Jesus needing help, we'd line up. Oh, that's Jesus. He's a good guy. We want to help him. But what Jesus says is, you do it to the disciple, you did it to me. And what's interesting about that is heaven noticed. Heaven noticed these little deeds. Heaven noticed the kind acts. Heaven noticed the good deeds, as Titus talked about. And so these were done not to get something in return. These were done not to get a pat on the back or a shout out. These were done because these are simply the right things to do. It's a matter of character, the matter of the heart.
What I hear from Titus 2, from Matthew chapter 25, we need to be good examples. But we need to be more than just theoretical examples. You know, I have a couple of daughters in school, and every once in a while the question comes up. Maybe we're working on math or some social studies assignment, and I can remember asking, and now they turn to me and ask, when am I ever going to use this? We hope that you see clearly here in the middle of this week that what we talked about on Sunday, what we work on in our Bible classes, what we read from God's Word throughout the week, this isn't a matter of, well, it's just some information that we're never going to use. We are to be active examples.
The difference between theory and reality. And that's what we're dealing with here. That's why Jesus would say to the disciples in John 4, verse 35, to lift up your eyes, to look upon the fields, that they are already white for harvest. And so even this day, you can lift up your eyes as you walk into the place of work, and you can notice people that need a little encouragement. You know somebody needs a little help. You know somebody's struggling a little bit in different ways. You can be that instrument of freshness and grace and hope that God's put upon us. Oftentimes where we work and where we go to school, we wish it was just everybody was Christians. Maybe you're the only Christian in the entire place. But maybe, just maybe, God has put you there for that reason. Maybe you're the light that somebody needs to see.
We are reading in our daily Bible reading schedule from Esther in the Old Testament. And Mordecai asks Esther that powerful question, who knows whether or not you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What an amazing privilege and responsibility to project an image of Jesus into the world, to reflect on how people think of Jesus. That's a great opportunity, but also a great responsibility. Roger, you're scheduled to preach this coming Sunday morning, and you're going to continue this As God Sees theme. Where are you headed next?
Well, we're going to keep this practical concept because, our theme is Now That I See. And so, again, we want to focus on seeing things from God's perspective. When we see things from God's perspective, it changes. It changes us. So this coming Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the important subject of baptism. And we're going to look at the question and the subject, why is baptism so important to God? Reading the New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, nearly every page talks about someone being baptized. Why? Why is that so important? And again, in our culture today, people have kind of laid that aside. Not so important. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what God says about that. So we welcome you to come and to be with us.
We would always love to have you in person. If you are here local, charlestownroad.org gives all the relevant details. There are a variety of different resources freely available, but we will be gathering this coming Sunday morning for an assembly of worship at 9:30 a.m., about 10 minutes after our morning assembly ends, typically around 10:45 a.m., we have classes for all ages, from infants all the way to adults. We would love to see you in person this Sunday morning. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're already looking forward to Sunday. We say around here it is the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.